What are you holding?
This is shear number 32.
Dalad Mar Cheshvan. That's for the tape. Tavshin Samach Zayin, October 25th, 2006. Took care of that. Okay. We went back, and I'll take it to Elsa.
Gimel Cheshvan.
Tonight is ready the next. Yeah, it's nighttime. Okay, tonight we will be discussing, as we mentioned once in the past, a little Tfilas Kaddish. Okay, we will be beginning. We will begin Suki de Zimra Mitzvah more at length, more in depth next week. And we are entering now into that part of the Siddur. We finished the Brachos, Baruch Hashem. We will not be discussing publicly the Karbonos. Not publicly. But we will continue to Suki de Zimra. We'll take all questions afterwards. Okay, I once heard that in davening, the first thing that gets sacrificed are the kabbonis. Kabbonis is a sacrifice.
Why aren't you going to skip them?
We'll discuss it afterwards.
The sacrifices them.
Okay.
Are there other things that get sacrificed besides the kabbonis?
I'm sorry?
Are there other things that get sacrificed?
No, we have to say kabbonis. For different reasons, which I'll explain afterwards. Okay. First, I want to welcome everybody back. And I hope you enjoyed your Yontif. And we're going to connect the Yontif we just had, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, to tonight's shiur. And that's how we'll begin, the truth is. And we just had Sukkot a week and a half ago. We just finished. Many of us had what they call in English the New Year resolution. And we came to God and we pleaded for a year of new life, health for ourselves, family, and parnasa. And we promised to improve ourselves. And we want to come to the year Tavshin Samech Ches, the next year, telling God and showing God, look, Baruch Hashem, thank God you enabled me, you gave me the power to fulfill my words, to keep to my promise. How do we do that? What's an eitzah, an advice to try to keep to that good train of thought and put into practice as well? So in order to answer this question, first we have to understand, why is it that when we don't feel the fear of the books of life and death open in front of us? You said it many times, that the Sifri Chaim and Sifri Meisim are Psuchim Lefanov. And a person will be written in the books of life, or God forbid, not in the book of life. And unfortunately, I'm sure many of you have heard very unfortunate situations that have taken place locally, which, once again, we'll discuss, mention afterwards, not now. But as much as we like to think, you know, we're all fine and dandy, it's not us. Yeah, okay, thank you. As much as we like to think that we're safe, we never know what's going to be. It's not just the 95-year-old. Unfortunately, the events of the past few weeks have shown us that one never knows. What they call the accident is not an accident. And with that little introduction, we'll begin. Rabbi Chetzkel Levinstein, Zechet Tzadik Kodesh Levracha, Rabbi Chetzkel Levinstein, he was the Mashkiach of the Mir and later on the Panovich. He says one of the reasons he is also was one of the Rebbeim of my Rebbe, Yerushalmi Rebbe de Shlita, on my Rebbeim. And he explained the answer, one of the reasons why we don't feel this fear and trepidation of the statement that Chazal tell us that the books of life and death are open in front of us, is because we have a lack of emunah, a lack of understanding, a lack of feeling the words of Chazal to be true. When Chazal says something, it is true as true can be. And he says that our lack of understanding that the words of Chazal are true That's what cools us down when the days of awe approach, and when we are told that the books of life and death are open in front of us, and so we don't prepare ourselves properly. So tonight, what we're going to try to do is to try to focus on another Maimer Chazal, words of Chazal, and incorporate that into our everyday life, and then come back a year later, hopefully standing there in front of Elul and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur with that proper understanding and that belief in the words of Sifri Chaim and Sifri Meisim Suf on the front of the books of life and death are open in front of us, and we'll be able to enter into those days the proper understanding. And that's where we come to tonight's shir. And we're discussing Kaddish. We won't get into so much.
Drag all the way up.
First time I'm out for this guy.
After surgery, so this is worthwhile.
Well, we won't get into. That's all right. We won't get into so much the Perush Hamilim, the translation of the words, but we're discussing tonight Kaddish, and we're going to put that into understanding how we approach the books of life and death. Just before you missed it.
Kaddish Shalem.
On page 42, okay, in the Chaim Shlomo Siddur, just if you want to see the words there, page 42, what do you have there? You have it, right? On the top, line number one.
This is a Chatzi Kaddish.
Oh, we're not going through the Kaddish now. Huh. We're not going to go, we're just going to show the words here. We're not just to be familiar with what we're talking about, okay? This is a Kaddish, Yiskadal, or Yiskadel, Yiskadesh, Shemei Rabbah. We're davening that Hashem's name should be exalted and made great. Alma, Devrach Rusei, in the world that he created, and so on and so forth. That is tonight's discussion. Who established Kaddish? Why did they establish it? And what was the purpose, the goal for this? So like many of the takonas, the established decrees that we have, are from who? Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, the men of the Great Assembly. Right? The first Mishnah in Perkei Avos. Hey, Mamu Shlosha Devarim, they said three things. So once again, they saw a need and necessity to establish Kaddish. When? After the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. After the temple was destroyed, they established the Kaddish, the text, and the purpose was to daven to Hashem for the fact that we lost the Beis HaMikdash, that we lost the land of Yerushalayim that we used to serve Hashem in, of Eretz Yisrael, and for the fact that we are scattered all over the world. That is what Kaddish, that is why Kaddish was established. Yes?
Questions afterwards, or?
I'm sorry?
Questions.
No, good questions pertain to this one, yeah.
So before the Harbin, there was Hamikdash, no, was no Kaddish.
Correct.
People had no way of expressing their mourning.
Mourning for what?
For a lost relative, or
I'm sorry, lost
for the lost family member or anybody.
Oh, so you're referring to a Kaddish of the mourner Kaddish, okay? It seems like, at least at first glance of what I've seen so far, there was not established
nothing
either. That is not tonight's class. But, no, that's fine. I just want to tell you, that is a reason for that Kaddish, you should be aware, is for the child, who we should never know this, who loses a parent. That child cannot daven in front by the Amud as the Chazan, because he's not 13 yet. So that Kaddish was established so he could say that Kaddish. But a person who, God forbid, will lose a relative, what would he do? He would daven by the Amud. I mean, in times of Beis HaMikdash, we have to know different things. The world was different. Okay? But that's a different Kaddish entirely. So the Anshik Nesak Doilo, they established the Men of the Great Assembly, they established the Kaddish. They established the Kaddish in order for us to be able to daven to Hashem because of the loss of the Beis HaMikdash, that we are kicked out of our land, and the purpose of the land is for what? Is to serve Hashem. Kaddish is one of the greatest praises in the tefillahs that we have, that we can say and we can serve God. It is even greater to some degree than the Kedusha in Shemoneh Esrei. We all know during Kedusha we keep our feet together, and when we answer Kodesh, 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 only then do the angels in heaven have that ability to answer Kodesh, Kodesh, Kodesh. Holy, holy, holy is you God only after we say it first. That's the Kedusha. And we are saying now that the Kaddish in some aspects is even greater than the Kedusha. So once again, Kaddish has to be said with 10. If a person, just a few halachas to bring them in, if a person has to take off his tefillin, he should not be winding them up or taking them off during the first part of Kaddish until after he says, Amen Yehesh Mi Rabba, that phrase. And the purpose for that is because we want to make sure the perfect person has total concentration on those words. As we'll see, those words carry with it a lot of power. Okay? Folding your towel is the same, all the same. It should be wait till after those words are said. The main purpose of this Kaddish, one of the main purposes, is to make Kaddish Shem Shemayim, is to sanctify God's name. And the main sanctification of God's name is when you have many people. Barayv Am Hadras Melech. The more people we have together, the greater it is that we're serving God. As you have 10 people say, Long live the King, doesn't compare if you have 10,000 people say, Long live the King. The Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Yates on the base, tells us, which we've discussed in the past, and this is where we come into the previous part of the Shir, that the books of God, Chazal tell us, the books of life and death are in front of us. The Gemara tells us as well, whoever answers Amen Yehesh Mi Rabba Mevorach B'chol Koichai, with all of his Koichai, you have to understand what his Koich means, might, his power, God rips up an evil decree that might have been decreed against him. A person has an evil decree, God forbid, he answers Amen Yehesh Mi Rabba. The Gemara tells us B'chol Koichai, with all of his strength, it's ripped up, it's gone.
So how do you do that? I mean, do you scream it out?
That's a very good question.
With just a great emotion.
Very good question. It's a machloek.
Because it would be embarrassing to scream it out.
It would be embarrassing if no one else is screaming out.
That's for sure.
And I'll tell you like this. Even if the halacha is, which we'll see in a second, to scream it out, if no one else is screaming out, it's still embarrassing. But then you're doing the right thing to some degree. We never want to stick out like a sore thumb, even if we're supposed to some degree. We'll explain ourselves as follows. Machleik is between Rashi and Tosfos and the Gemara and Shabbos over there. Rashi says, Bikavana. Concentration. Understand what we're saying. Emotionally feelize, internalize that we want God's name to be elevated and sanctified in this world. And that God's name, like we say at the end of Aleinu, should become one and become greater. That's Bikavana. Tosfos says, Bechol Koichai. Screaming out loud. The Shulchan Aruch says both. Both. Say it with kavana, b'chol koyche, meaning concentration, understanding, and with a loud voice.
Not a screaming voice, but a loud voice.
Well, the words are b'chol koyche, with all your might.
See, I mean, because if you're like hailing a king, long live the king. I mean, the 10,000 people aren't going, long live the king. They're going, long live the king, with the whole might, you know, and so.
What you're saying is 100% correct, and that is the way it should be done. That is the way it should be done. Person has to also, though, realize if he's screaming out, long live the king, and everybody turns around and says, where's the white jacket for him? You know, he's missing a few screws. So, that doesn't mean he should not fulfill the halacha. He should fulfill the halacha.
Yeah, but at the same time, you can scream your heart out and still didn't mean it.
Exactly, that's a problem also.
So you have to do both.
Right, if you do
both. You really mean long live the king and you're screaming it with all your...
Right. So that's what we're saying over. We're saying here it means both. But we have to always fit in and be normal. That's you know, the Gemara starts in Daf Beis. Every Gemara, even the R scrolls, Daf Beis. Second Beis, the second letter of the Aleph Beis. My son Yosef just started learning Aleph Beis in school. It's up to Aleph now. What's Aleph? The joke is Aleph is Derech Eretz. Act normal. Be a mensch. That's Aleph. That's the Aleph Beis of the Gemara. So, I want to make sure I'm clear here. We have to make sure we scream it out loud, as we'll see the importance of it as we continue. But if, unfortunately, we're the only one doing it out loud, and people are going to look at us like we're crazy, and we're going to cause people to talk about us, and like that person's a nutcase, we're not sanctifying God's name. We should say it with all the concentration, and we should say it in a louder voice. We should. And hopefully, eventually, we'll get more people to say it in louder voice, Aleph of Aleph Beis. Okay, let's continue. The Gemara there says as well, whoever answers Amen b'chol koichoi, with all of his might, which we just explained what that means, poischen lo shari gan Eden, the gates, plural, gates of Gan Eden, of heaven, of pleasure, of the ultimate reward, will be open for us. I believe it's the Maharshal over there who explains the plural, not just the gate of Gan Eden, but gates. Because each gate brings to a better room, better gate, better portion, the gates of Gan Eden. Now, Amen, Hashem Rab, we could only say in Shul. And Amen, for a bracha, we have the opportunity whenever we're around somebody, he makes a bracha, an apple, a drink, whatever it might be, of first blessing and after blessing, we say the Amen. He has an opportunity that the gates, plural, for Gan Eden should be opened for that person.
Where? In Olam Haba.
In Olam Haba, when he gets there.
For him, not for him.
For him. He said the Amen.
That's Amen anywhere or Amen with Kaddish?
Anywhere. Anywhere
but
across the board.
The person who does make the bracha.
Well, the person who made the bracha, and he gets the reward for enabling you to answer the Amen. But I made the bracha, that's a mitzvah by itself. It's a different issue here. But here we're discussing the person who answered the Amen. That's how great that is. What does the mean Amen? Amen, the Gemara tells us, is an abbreviation, an acronym, Kel Melech Ne'eman. The letters Aleph is Kel, God's name, which means a powerful God. Melech, the king. Ne'eman, trustworthy. Emes. Amen is coming from the word of Emuna. Emuna means the belief in God. When a person is saying Amen, what he's doing is he's saying God has that power to fulfill whatever the bracha is saying. Whatever the bracha might be. And that's what Amunah is. Amunah, the belief in God, is saying God is the one who has the ability to fulfill everything and control the whole world. The Gemara, as we've mentioned in the past, the Gemara in the Makos, the Chavdal tells us, Chabak, the Navi, took all the Taryag mitzvahs, all 613 commandments, and he said, we can focus on them with this one mitzvah. We can build on them by focusing on Emunah. And said all 613 rest on this one mitzvah. Tzadik be'emunoso yichya. A tzadik, a righteous person, lives with emuna. Amen yeheshmi rabo. What are the words? May his name, that is great, be blessed forever and for all eternity. A person is saying amen yeheshmi, amen, period. Amen goes to the previous part. Next, Yehei Shmei Rabba. May his name that is great be blessed forever and for all eternity. That's what the words mean, translation. In the Sefer Shiuri Das, he explains, what does this mean that it's ripped off? What does that mean, stripped off? That evil decree. How does that work? So he says as follows. That when we say Amen Neheshmi Rabba Mavorach, we express the hope that the glory of Hashem's name should be enhanced and expanded l'olam, forever, in this world, l'olmei olam, and also in the world to come. So we're saying, in this world and the next world should God's name be made greater. Therefore, so when the person says Yeheshmi Rabba, with all his might, which refers to with all of his spirit and emotions consumed with his with this yearning, what happens is that rips up that decree. Because at that moment, in Shemayim, in heaven, they don't judge him according to the sins, the chatoim, that he has done, but they look at him at the present where he is now. What is his desire? His desire is that God's name should be made great. That's his goal. We have by Yishmael, the first son of Avraham Avinu. He was dying. And he was about to die. And Hashem made that water appear for his mother, Hagar. And the angel said, what are you doing? His children are in the future going to destroy and attack your children, God, B'nai Yisrael. So the answer was, Ba'asher Husham. What is he now? What is his status now? He was doing tshuva. Yishmael was repenting. He was doing tshuva. Ba'asher Husham. Where is he holding now? When a person screams out, Amein Neheshmi Rabba, that is his goal now. His goal is that God's name should be made great. So that decree is ripped up.
He's saying it now, but well, millions of people will die later as a result.
You mean by Yishmael?
Yeah.
Okay.
In other words, he said it that moment.
That's right.
But millions of people will die later.
And by the way, Hashem knows that.
Right.
And he still forgives you.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Very powerful.
Interesting. If you like the 24, you see that series? So there's a series in 24 where you don't even know what I'm talking about, right? I never watched TV until I've been sick for the last 2 weeks.
At first, I had no idea. Then you said series. 24, I don't know.
Yeah. I've just been watching 24 for 2 weeks. It's the first time I watched TV in years. And there's one part where there's two guys. There's only one surgeon. And this one guy's done tshuva. He's going back with his wife. I'm sorry for life. The whole bit. Didn't say to God necessarily, but whatever. And he's getting the blood around the heart. Okay? He's going to now make the man die. Okay? Now, there's this Chinese guy who knows the key to where the nuclear bomb that's about to hit Chicago is dying also. The guy's a bum. But because he has a key to where the nuclear bomb is that can save millions, whatever the guy's name is, pulls out his gun to the surgeon and says, I'm going to kill you if you don't stop operating on this guy. And the surgeon turns to him and says, if I stop, this man dies for sure. For sure, he'll die. I mean, it'll take me 2 more minutes and I can keep him alive. You make me just keep this Chinese guy alive so you can ask him a question and then kill him, this guy dies. What do you do? And he made him do the other one to save the millions. It just was kind of reminiscent. You know? It's like,
okay.
It's assuming here we have Ishmael, who's going to kill millions later.
His descendants later, but now he's repenting.
Right.
Now he's doing tshuva. The Chafetz Chaim says in a public letter in around the year 1914, the war that has broken out is truly fearsome, affecting every member of Klal Yisrael, both physically and spiritually. There is no doubt that Hashem has caused it to happen in order to arouse us to repent, to Him in complete repentance. Therefore, we are all obligated to beseech Hashem and pray that He saves us. It is the duty of each one of us to attend the Beis HaKnesses daily, to daven Shachris, Mincha, and Mariv, says the Chofetz Chaim, with our children, and to respond, Amen Yeheshmei Rabba. For as the Medrash states, in this way countless harsh decrees are annulled each day. He's referring to our Gemara, that the decrees are ripped up. The Chofetz Chaim took the Gemara and literally. It is impossible to fathom the number of salvations that could be brought about for Klal Yisrael if the inhabitants of each city were indeed to assemble in the Beis HaKnesses and to daven together and respond Amen Yesh Mirabah in unison every day. In this way, thousands of people could be saved from death. If the Chofetz Chaim was alive today, every single Jew would run to him for a bracha, without a doubt. The Chofetz Chaim is explaining to us that this is a reality. On a personal level and on a global level, Amen Yehesh Mirabah rips up the decrees. We've mentioned the past once again in the previous year of Amen, but it's worthwhile to mention again the famous words of Rav Simcha Zissel of Kelm. And he used to say as follows: it would have been enough for God to create this whole entire universe that will last for 6,000 years for one Jew to say what? To say Baruch Hu U'Baruch Shemoy. Blessed is he and blessed is his name. The whole world, for one Jew, could be any one of us in this room, to say that phrase one time, it would have been worthwhile to create the whole entire world. For one Baruch Hu Baruch Shemoy. And the reward for saying Baruch Hu Baruch Shemoy is greater than all the pleasures in this world from the beginning of time to the end of time. The reward for one Amen is 1,000 times greater than Baruch Hu Baruch Shemoy. Now we come to the reward for Amen Yehesh Mirabah is 1,000 times greater than one Amen. So we start with Baruch Hu Baruch Shemoy. All the pleasure in this world, every single person, would not amount to one answering one Baruch Hu Baruch Shemoy. One Amen is 1,000 times greater than Baruch Hu Baruch Shemoy. One Amen Yehesh Mirabah is 1,000 times greater than that Amen. And on top of all this is one word of Torah. The person sits down by himself or with a chavrusa, opens up any sefer, and learns one word of Torah. Somebody can do the quick math for me. And that one word of Torah is
a trillion.
Is Baruch Hu Baruch Shemoy is the greatest. I'll get all the reward for that in the world. One Amen is 1,000 times greater than Baruch Hu Baruch Shemoy. One Amen Yehesh Mirabah is greater than all that, all the Amens. And one word of Torah is greater than all of those Baruch Hu Baruch Amen Yehesh Mirabah. There's a story with the Lavush. The Lavush is the author of this sefer over here in my hand. This is in this edition. It's around 7 volumes. He was offered a job as a rabbi in a certain town, and he said, before I come to become the Rav, I have to go to another Rav, a Sfadish Rav, to learn the laws of adding a leap year, intricate, difficult laws. Give me 3 months' time, I'll go, I'll study, and I'll come back and become the Rav. Fine, very good. He went to learn by this other Rav, Rav Abuhov, the Sfadi. And he became a wonderful disciple. The Lavush himself is a student of the Ramah. The Ramah is Rav Moshe Isserles. We have in the Shulchan Aruch. And it is said about the Lavush, at that time he was already an expert in all of the Nigla, the revealed Torah, Kabbalah as well. I don't get into that. But he went to go learn by this Rav Abuhov. The months went by, Rav Buhov loved his new student. And one time, while they were learning, a young child walks into the room, takes a fruit, makes a bracha, and everybody in the room answers a name. The Lavush, being so involved with his studies, didn't respond. Rav Buhov excommunicated him, put him in Nidui. For 30 days. He threw him out. And he couldn't understand what did he do so wrong that deserves such a harsh punishment. After 30 days, he comes back to his Rebbe and he asked him, please forgive me. I didn't realize what I did so wrong. And please explain to me what I did so wrong. And he told him no. And once again, he asked for forgiveness. And Rav Abuov, the Sfardi, told him, let me tell you a story. And the story took place in the year 1492, which our children all know is that's when Columbus sailed Ocean Blue. But it wasn't so pleasant for the Jews of Spain. When King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella, the Rishoyim, they wanted to expel the Jews, and eventually they did expel the Jews. And the story, in the story that we're saying now, that Rav Abuov is telling, the Levush, Rav Mordechai Yafo was his name, was that there was once again this decree that the Jews should be expelled from Spain. And there was this very pious, righteous Jew who was friendly with the king. And whenever these decrees would come up, this righteous Jew would go and speak to the king, his friend, and for whatever reason the king enjoyed in the company of this Jew, and he annulled the decree. Once again, a decree was said, the Jews would be kicked out, and the whole delegation came and knocked on the tzaddik's door, and they said, it's time, we need your help. Please go and speak to the king on our behalf, for the Jewish nation. And he said, fine, I just had to daven mincha. It's mincha time. And they told him, mincha, you'll daven mincha, but you had to go speak now. Things are very bad. So he went, and as soon as he entered the palace, the king saw his friend, and he greeted him with a smile. And the Jews saw, Baruch Hashem, that things were going well. Little small talk. And then he was going to get to the purpose of why he was here. Wasn't the king of Denmark. Sorry. Previous year. So...
He didn't say pass the chips.
He didn't say pass the chips. Not this time. So what happened was... In the middle of this conversation between the tzaddik and the king, a priest comes in and starts praising the king in Latin, a language which the tzaddik had no idea what he was saying. And he realized time is going on and he's the daven mincha still. And he figured, he estimated that by the time this priest is finishing all his praises, he'll finish his davening shemincha, shemon esrei, and he'll be back. So he goes off to the corner, the priest continues whatever he's saying, a bunch of nothing. And then he screams out, all in the room, answer Amen. And they all answer Amen. Then he screams out and says, did everybody in the room answer Amen? Someone says, yes. Then he says, what about that Jew in the corner? And the response was no. And the priest started screaming in pain, as if in pain, said, now that he didn't answer Amen, all those blessings that I gave to you, the king, cannot come true. You heard this?
No? This is a true story?
This is a true story. This story I'm not making up. It's written down, he himself writes it down in the introduction to his monumental work over here. The king became very upset, infuriated, and he killed the Jew. And his body was cut up into pieces and mailed back and sent back to his people. A friend of this tzaddik, this righteous Jew, couldn't believe, couldn't understand. He knew his friend, this tzaddik who was just brutally murdered, to be such a pious person. It didn't make sense that he deserved such a death like this. And he said it must have been that this tzaddik sinned privately that people were not aware of. And that's why he got such a end that he received. And he davened, this friend davened and fasted to find out what happened over here. And in daybreak, daylight, not in a dream, his friend appeared to him. that alone could kill somebody. And he told him that he deserved this brutal punishment. Because years earlier, he said, I never sinned my whole entire life. One time, my son made a bracha, and I did not answer amen. And this was measure for measure, mida k'neged mida. That I would be put into that situation, and I didn't answer amen to that king's, to the priest blessing the king, and I was punished here in this world, and my share in the world to come is a great portion, a great share. That, once again, was a story in the story. Get back to the first part of the story. That, said Rabbi Buov, was the reason why I excommunicated you, and I do forgive you. On the condition that you go publicize this story. The importance of answering amen to a bracha. Kel Melech Neeman. That God is the Melech, He's the King who is Neeman, who is believed. We believe, we trust in God. Amen is Emuna. It's a true story.
Would he have been allowed to say amen to a priest? I mean, if you're a priest doing it and he's doing it to a king, are you allowed to say amen?
It's a good question. The answer is that by pikuach nefesh, in other words, pikuach nefesh means life and death situation, which at the end of the day, we see that was the case, you would be allowed. At the end of the day, you'd be allowed.
Isn't that an interesting...
I want to apologize because we're running out of time. I want to tie it in together quickly and we'll get back to it afterwards, okay? Might have to wait till after tomorrow or give me a call, okay? We started off tonight with asking, how do we enter into Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, even though we just finished it, but we want to prepare ourselves after taking away all those wonderful new resolutions that we made. The new year that we just began, we want to make sure it's a positive, constructive new year. And we said, how do we do this? How do we make sure that we enter into the time period when we say the books of life and death are open in front of us and we take it seriously? So we gave the answer from Chatzko Levinstein Zatzal, the Mashkiach of the Mir and Panovich, and we said that when we believe the words of Chazal, when the Gemara tells us something, we take it to heart. We take those words to really mean what they say. So now here we have that situation of a main Yeheshmi Rabbah. We have the opportunity throughout the whole entire year when we dabble into minyan and a main, every time we're near somebody who makes a bracha, to listen to what the bracha is and answer a main. That's why we should not be learning during davening. We should not, God forbid, be talking during davening, and we can pay attention and answer a main Yeheshmi Rabbah. With that understanding, when we come to, throughout the whole entire year, we'll answer Amen Yeheshmi Rabbah, realizing that those decrees will be ripped up. We'll live our life in such a fashion. Just very quickly, another true story which I just heard a few weeks ago. There was a man who was deathly ill. The doctor said it doesn't look good. And he went and he took the words of this Chazal, this Gemara, and he hired 10 people from a kollel to say a main Yeheshmi Rabbah for him. And very quickly, the decree was ripped up. He went back to the doctor. The doctor said, I don't understand it, but you're fine. Rav Chaim Kinyevsky was asked, Rav Chaim Kinyevsky Shlita, the great Talmud Chacham, the Tzaddik, and B'nai Brak was asked, is this foolproof? Does it work all the time like this? If that's the case, we'll all be fine. Go to a kolo, and I know the dinner's coming up, and Rav Yerfeld didn't ask me to make a fundraising speech here, but go to any place and you hire them, whatever it might be, let them say Amen Yeheshmi Rabbah, and that's it, you'll be fine. And he answered, is it foolproof? And the answer was, no. So what does it mean? He doesn't believe in the Gemara? God forbid. The answer is, we have to live our life living what we say. What does it mean, Yeheshmi Rabbah? Amen Yeheshmi Rabbah, may it be God's name, be sanctified. How do we sanctify God's name? Not only by saying it, by living it, by doing it, by acting accordingly. That's why that person was recently saved from that illness that he had. Because he lived his life accordingly. With this understanding, with the greatest mitzvah being what? Being Talmud Torah. Because Talmud brings, learning Torah brings to action, brings to doing. With that understanding, we can live the whole entire year of Toshin Samach Zayin, the year we're in now, and approach the year of Toshin Samach Ches, that new year, with confidence to be written to a book of life. We should all have a successful and healthy new good year.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.